And on the line right now, we have from Girlfriend, the writer, Natasha Somasundaram. Natasha, it's a pleasure to have you here on stage as welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be chatting to you.
All right. Now, look, tell us a little bit about Girlfriend.
Yeah, so it was based on a real murder that happened in the 90s in Canberra. It was really widely publicized at the time. A man named Joe Chingwe was unfortunately murdered in quite horrific circumstances, but the crime was quite widely publicized because it was quite a bizarre case. And it was committed by an Indian-Australian student. She was a law student at ANU at the time. She had a cocktail of unresolved mental illnesses. She invited, the night he died, she invited a whole bunch of people over from her law school to her house for a dinner party where she told them all that she was going to kill him. None of them believed her. And she ended up killing him. And because of all these kind of circumstances, it got made into a book, into a movie. There was a play, another play made about it at the Malthouse a few years ago. So I am adding to this collection of artistic interpretations of this crime. And I came about it because I'm a part of a collective called the Ignite Collective, which is a very new theatrical group that has come out of Sydney. We're a group that is focused on making new works for performers between the age of 20 and 30. So for me, I was looking for a really interesting story with an angle that particularly focused on women between their 20s and 30s that we hadn't seen before. So this story particularly struck out to me because in all the depictions that have come before my own, the characters, I shouldn't say characters, the real people who committed the crime were Indian Australians, there were two of them, but in none of the artistic depictions were they ever portrayed as that. And I found that very odd.
Yeah, that is odd.
Very odd. Obviously a very clear choice by the filmmakers who made the film that came out, I think, last year. The people who wrote the Malthouse play, the book was nonfiction, so of course that was more truer to the actual facts. But I'm Sri Lankan Australian myself, and I was a law student up until very recently, until I dropped out to become a writer. But the kind of how close it was to my own circumstances really kind of tickled my curiosity, and couldn't stop thinking about it. And I had two wonderful Indian
Australian
actors.
What sort of dinner parties do you go to, Natasha?
not ones that involve murder.
No, that's good.
just regular eating of dinner. So, but it did frighten me. I was like a bit like, oh my goodness, like how close could I have been to becoming this? You know, when you read stories like that, you know, it was quite funny when I was reading the book, they'd be like Anu Singh, who's the murderer. You know, they're like, she went for a walk. And I was like, oh my God, I go for walks. Like, am I going to be a murderer? I haven't murdered anyone yet.
Stop that walking.
Yeah.
And of course, Helen Garner wrote the book, which did do quite well. And of course that was a true crime, but from what you're saying about Anu Singh and Madi Harvey's cultural background, which you're saying that you relate to and that was kind of looked over, do you think there's an importance to that? Could anybody have murdered him? Did the cultural background matter? And is that what you're kind of delving into because you have a similar background yourself?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, those were the very same questions that kind of ran through my mind, I think. And so I wanted to look at not perhaps why coming from that particular cultural background may have directly caused that, but could it have been an influence? And how could that have influenced someone's mindset? Because I think I was really curious about that in myself and my upbringing, which was eerily similar because I was quite kind of upper middle class. Like, both their parents were doctors, or I think they had at least one doctor in the family. And like, I come from a family of doctors as well. And so I was very curious about how that could influence someone's outlook. And so Anu was the one who murdered Joe, but she had this best friend named Madhavi, who also got charged with murder because she was in the house. The drug, the heroin that eventually killed Joe and kind of facilitated the whole process, definitely knew what was going on the whole time.
That's right, because they drugged him first, but then they had to shoot him up with heroin because
they had to
make it work, because they had one botched attempt before that, didn't they?
That's it, yeah. So it was like this excruciatingly long and very messed up process.
Yeah.
Madhavi, as far as I know from the research I've done, didn't have any unresolved mental issues, unlike Anu, and got away completely scot-free. So the Crown tried to charge her with 4 charges of attempted murder. And just through a legal loophole, so in Australia in the 90s, I think the law has changed a bit, but not a huge amount. But basically, if you see someone dying, there is no legal obligation to rescue them as per the court case in the 90s, which seems astounding.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you're a teacher in a school and you know something about a child being abused, you know, you legally have to bring that.
Yeah.
But if you're watching someone die, that's okay, is it?
Yeah. God. And I think because the law evolved to accommodate for that, because, of course, in recent years, there's just been such a dramatic increase in victims speaking out about that. But it's so bizarre and so incongruent that I still don't think... Yeah, and there are definitely circumstances people can technically still get away with murder. That really got to me as well, because I started thinking about Madhavi. A lot of art has been made about Anu, like, because she was quite dramatic and kind of the main character of this crime. But I started to think, well, what would life be like for someone who has just managed to escape by the skin of her teeth.
But Anu Singh got quite a light sentence anyway as well.
She did.
Because Joe's mother was quite disappointed. Sentence. Yeah, I mean,
definitely.
Ultimately, yeah.
And it was, and I think that the Crown was really kind of hoping that they could pin something on Madhavi. They were like, surely. And they had such a strong case. But it was just this legal loophole. And there was another thing as well, so in the ACT in the 90s, you can elect, even though it was a criminal case, you can elect to just have a judge and no jury. And I've no idea. I've been trying to look into why this is, but it's like very odd. So they, of course, both elected for a judge, and a judge who has much more nuanced kind of understanding of the law than, say, a regular jury, kind of knew about these legal loopholes. And he said, I don't think he was trying to get her to escape being punished, but just because he had the knowledge of it, of course he had to kind of say, well, that's what the law is, this is my understanding of it.
And how do you dramatise Anu Singh? I mean, wasn't she the ducks of her class, and she was quite smart and, you know, went to university? And I mean, how do you dramatise her in this play?
Yeah, so I should probably clarify, this play is, when I started writing it, it was going to be about Anu and Madhavi and their relationship. But I kind of scrapped Anu because I think she's had, like, it's just been a lot of work about her, and there wasn't anything I thought that I could bring to the table with her that hasn't already been done. So what this story is about is kind of Madhavi, and it's set 20 years after the crime has happened. So after she's kind of gone through... Hypothetically, this is a hypothetical play, of course, 20 years, so it's set in 2020, it's been 20 years. I've set it in a supermarket, and I've kind of asked the question, what is her relationship with her conscience 20 years from now? But also, I kind of was liberated by the fact that this is a criminal case, and it's been in the public domain for so long. So I felt like I could take a little bit of artistic license. It's definitely, I'm sure, undoubtedly will be controversial. Like, I don't think, and questionably ethical. Like, I don't think there's any way around that.
But it's kind of like, you know, truth is stranger than fiction in a way. Like, it is such an amazingly complex and shocking story how could you get away? What else could you do to it, you know? Unless you wanted
definitely.
To make it some sort of fantasy horror movie.
Totally. Yeah. It was just so odd. And I think Helen Garner, her book, I read that was one of the first pieces of text I read. And she kind of talks, because I read all the cases as well, and I just couldn't get my head around them. But then I just was like, oh, I'm a terrible legal student. Like, I could never finish my law degree. Like, I just don't understand, you know, the terminology. Like, clearly I should have finished my degree. I could have understood these cases. But Helen kind of consistently talks about how, like, she couldn't get her head around it. Like, even people, like, intimately involved with the case were confused by its detail. So then I felt kind of alleviated by that. It was like, how do we make logic out of something that seems so illogical and so just against everything we've kind of built up to value in Australian society? And especially the two girls who committed it kind of grew up basically with both silver spoons in their mouths. And it's like, how did you both fall through the cracks, and what could have possibly led you to think this was okay? So, yeah, it was very difficult. It was quite a process. It was a lot of going back and forth with the actors and the director. I work as quite intuitively as a writer, so a lot of the way I write is based on like a story of emotions, an emotional progression. I find that the most interesting to me.
Well, that's what you need to write about, isn't it? You can't, otherwise it becomes a documentary.
Definitely. Yeah. It's like, why are we going to the theatre exactly?
Yeah.
And you're running our Girlfriend, it's at 25A, isn't it, until the 4th of April at Belvoir Street Theatre.
Yeah. All right, Natasha Samusundaram, thank you very much for talking to us here on Stages.
Yeah.